Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as we begin Advent, we're going to today start on volume 4, November 17th, 1902. And Louisa begins, as the usual hour came for me to be surprised by my usual state. So here, Louisa, every night, Louisa would, her usual state was victimhood. And she would become rigid to the point that where in her bed, no one could move her, no one could lift her, and it's very interesting because when she died, there was no rigor mortis. She went through that every day of her life, every evening of her life, where Jesus would take Louisa throughout the whole universe and show her all the glories of creation. And this is what happens to us in a very minute manner when we begin to make our rounds in creation. As we make our rounds in creation, we begin to understand the magnificence of God, all the I love yous of God in all of the universe. And what we have today, Louisa didn't have. We have microscopes, we have telescopes, we can see the vast different distances in the galaxy. We can see the minute particles with microscopes. And with us, what we can do is we can begin to adore God in a way that the saints never knew, the saints didn't have. And the reason God is giving us this technology today is so that we can begin to praise God and love God and glorify God while we make our rounds of creation. We begin to see, you know, vast expanses of the universe. The other thing too that's very interesting is even with the technology of today, looking like at the Shroud of Turin, you know, having doctors explain to us the scourging, what the scourging would entail for a human being to go through. The crucifixion, why this was the most horrible ways of dying, excruciating pain, tortured to death. And when we listen to the scientists of their understanding of what Jesus went through, we have a deeper awareness of what our sins have done to Jesus. With our thoughts, our words, our deeds, what we have done to our Lord, and therefore even our confessions get to be more true. The guilt of our sinfulness turns into a greater sorrow, where we say to the Lord, you know, I'm really sorry for, heartily sorry for, entering into this life that is separated from the divine will. So here we get a glimpse of what Louisa went through. Her usual hour for her to become petrified like a solid stone every night. And the thing that she always dreaded was having the priest come. She says, "Don't waste the priest's time," she would say. Jesus, you take me out of this state of rigidity where no one could even move her. And the story goes that one time a priest didn't believe that, and he didn't show up for 18 days. So for 18 days and 18 nights, Louisa went through this rigidity, and she says she couldn't breathe. Her heart couldn't beat. She was like living dead. And finally, when the priest came and saw, he says, "How long has she been like this?" And they said, "Well, it's been 18 days since you have been here to take her out of this state." the priest always was there from that point on. He was there every morning to help her get out of this state of rigidity, because, see, the Lord wanted the priest to be with Luisa, as Jesus wanted the priest, John, to be with the Blessed Mother. The two go together, and the priesthood and this maternity that God gave to Luisa to be, he said, you know, I'm calling you to be my second mother. What does that mean? Well, Our Lady was the mother of redemption, and she's the mother of all mankind. Luisa is now the mother, the little mother of the little children of the Holy Divine Will. That's a whole another topic that we will get into, of how our Lord wants us to have three mothers: our natural mother, our Mary, the mother of God, the mother and queen of heaven and earth, and now the little Luisa, the little mother of the little children of the Holy Divine Will. We need to be fed this life that Adam lost, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, now has been given to a human. Why? So the humanity can begin to live this abundant life. So here she's stating, the usual hour for me to came, and I was surprised to my great bitterness, because it was such bitterness that I had never experienced anything similar in my life. So here on this date of 1902, she has experienced a greater sorrow, a greater bitterness. My mind, she says, was no longer to lose consciousness. So she would leave this life and go with Jesus to see all of the universe. And that's when we talked about her socks that she would wear to bed, where when you go to Corrado, when you visit her room where she was, there are some of her socks that were dirty from walking throughout the universe and had holes in them as she walked throughout the universe with Jesus. Jesus was showing her why he created all these I love yous for mankind, how much our Lord loves mankind, that he would create this vast universe for him and him alone. And our job is, when we pray the rounds of creation, is to enter into this divine I love you. And we breathe in everything we see with a microscope, or with the things at the bottom of the ocean, the things that animals, you know, insects that have never been seen before. Our understanding is to say to God, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you. See, Jesus said that Adam was to be the voice. Mankind was to be the voice, the I love yous, back to God in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So when we learn how to pray the rounds, the Lord hears everyone, every human being that was ever conceived. He hears everyone saying to God, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you. Why? This was the plan for every human being, to be the voice of all of creation and all of redemption. So all those that have been redeemed, when we pray the rounds, God hears every human being, past, present, and future, praying this I love you to God with our voice. So to understand the divine will, why is it so much different than doing the will of God? Well, doing the will of God is done in a human manner. Okay, so when you look at Mother Teresa, she would spend 5 hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Proper. Love God with your whole mind, your whole heart, and all your strength. And then she would spend 5 hours on the street, picking up a baby off the street, you know, a child off the street, and bringing the baby to the orphanage. So what happens? At that point, one by one, she brought babies to be nurtured, to be fed, to be clothed, for healing. That's one at a time. In the divine will, we bring everyone before the throne of God. adoring God, loving God, praising God, thanking God, glorifying God. This, with the understanding of the rounds are I love yous, as the saints in heaven are giving divine I love yous to God. Why? They're breathing in this, if you want to say this, I love you of God. They're seeing God. They're in the beatific vision. They're in eternity with one with God. So they're breathing in this divine I love you and breathing back to God his divine I love you. It's not a human I love you. And so what Jesus has taught Louisa, excuse me, and now he's trying to teach us, excuse me, is to begin to live this abundant life the way Jesus prayed, the way Mary prayed, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is what they gave to Louisa. This is how Adam prayed before the fall. It's to adore God and to love God and praise God and thank God and worship God as God deserves to be adored divinely, as God deserves to be glorified divinely, as God deserves to be loved divinely, not with a human limited, but with a divine. And so Jesus is teaching this to Louisa. And now Louisa says, I'm experiencing a bitterness that I've never had in my life before. All of a sudden, Jesus is bringing her to a higher level so that she can teach us what God is going through. The suffering that Louisa went through is we could never go through. The suffering that Jesus brought Louisa to was the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And we are going to learn from Louisa what God is expecting of us. None of us, I mean, we get a sliver, you know, we get a sliver in our hand and we're complaining. You know, we go, can you get this sliver out of my hand? We go to a doctor. Louisa, her bitterness was interior and yes, physical, but also internal. And so she says this, my mind was no longer able to lose consciousness. My life, Jesus, my treasure, Jesus, the one who formed all my delights, Jesus, all my lovable Jesus was not coming. And I tried to recollect myself as much as I could, but I felt my mind so awake that I could neither lose consciousness nor sleep. So here, Jesus is bringing her, excuse me, I'm sorry, to a deeper understanding, a deeper dimension, to enter into this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary. So, like again, I said, we are weak. We could never go through what Jesus gave to Louisa. You know, at an early age, Jesus said to her, go to bed and stay there. She could walk, but she obeyed Jesus. When he said to her, stop eating, she obeyed Jesus and she stopped eating. Jesus said, stop drinking, and she stopped drinking. Stop sleeping, and she stopped sleeping. None of us could go through that. We're like babies who are always crying, you know, give me, give me, give me, give me. And because a baby is in need. Louisa, this is another reason. Louisa is now, what she has gone through, now she can help us in our limited suffering that we're going through. Physical, spiritual, mental, emotional. All of us are suffering. And Louisa has gone through everything. The reason we have Jesus, Mary, and Louisa is these are the three who suffered the most. The Protestants don't understand what Our Lady went through, how she co-redeemed with Christ at Calvary. Those that don't know Louisa don't understand that Jesus crucified Louisa every day. Why would a God crucify a human being? Why would God do this? It's because when the Father sees someone who loves the Son and loves Our Lady, the Father says, I want you to be more like them. And it's a share in the sufferings. We go through minimal. When we suffer, excuse me, our suffering is nothing compared to what Jesus and Mary went through. So the human who took upon this responsibility to bring this life. This is God's call to Louisa. Bring this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary to the earth was given to Louisa. So these are the three that suffered the most, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And when we begin to understand why Jesus did this, a lot of people get upset. Why would God do this to a human? Well, the gift was given to a human, Adam, and Adam lost it. So Jesus, the new Adam, Mary, the new Eve, was given this gift, which now includes suffering, to Louisa. And when we understand Louisa, we begin to get a glimpse of what we are going through. So a lot of people, when they go through their sufferings, they worry and are fearful and are anxious and are complaining and are negative and sinning. And Jesus is saying to us, and this is why we're doing this, sleep in the arms of your Jesus. Rest in him. Trust him. This Jesus I trust in you that Jesus gave to St. Faustina was to prepare the world for a complete surrender to God. Not only do I trust you, but I believe in you and I hope in you and I have confidence in you. Why? You are my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. And so we go to the two, the Queen of Heaven and Earth, Mary, the Blessed Mother, and now this little newborn, Louisa. We go to them to help. We ask them, help me to understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, whether it's physical, spiritual, mental, emotional. Our Lord has got great, great love. He loves us so much, and he wants us to return to this universal love, this universal life, this universal light, and that is the Catholic life, the universal life that Adam lost. So Jesus and Mary come to earth, why? To begin the universal life again. Jesus calls his apostles. The Holy Spirit comes down upon the apostles and Our Lady, who was with the apostles. And for the next few years that she lived with the apostles, she began to teach them who Jesus is. Why sacred scripture always points to Jesus, our Messiah, our Lord, our Master. And so what happens is now God is saying to us, I've given to the Catholic Church the Eucharist, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. Why? To prepare us for that perennial communion with God that Adam had. This is what the whole universal life is, to be one with God. So what does God do? He says, I will come to earth to redeem you, and then I will stay with you to feed you, to nourish you. The Holy Spirit will give you through confirmation the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit, to fill you to capacity. Why? So that we can live the life that God wants us to live again. The life that Adam lost, image and likeness of God. This is why Louisa, every night, my usual hour, something different had happened in 1902. Something different with Jesus was saying, okay, now you've learned this. Now I'm going to teach you something else. So when you think about this, when you look at what God has done, There's different stages of the divine will. There's volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus Christ. This is the first step, to become a saint. The second step is volume 11 through volume 19, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. This has not been given to the saints. The saints were not given how to live. They did the will of God, but they didn't know how to live in the will of God. So this is what God is asking of us. He's asking us, are you willing to begin to live this abundant life? Are you willing to begin to possess this gift of gifts? This is only step two. And then from volume 20 through volume 36, which was hidden until 1996, Why? Now is the time to enter into the third stage. We've got to learn the first stage and the second stage, if you want to say, becoming a divine mirror of Jesus, becoming a saint. Secondly, to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now the third stage, and that is to receive the divine, the inheritance of the Father, to go back to where Adam was before the fall. So God had this hidden in the secret archives of the Vatican until 1996. Why? Because what's happening is a new beginning is happening, a new beginning for all of mankind. This is the joy of reading the Book of Heaven. What happened with Father Gobi in 1999? In 1999, Our Lady said to Father Gobi in December of 1997. Sorry. In 1997, December of 1997, Our Lady said to Father Gobi, everything is done. Everything is complete. Well, what happened that 1997, Our Lady said to Father Gobi, everything's ready now. Everything's ready to go. Well, in 1996, the first community in the world that read all 36 volumes and studied all 36 volumes was the Mexican group of Acuñas. They received all the writings of Luisa. What does that mean? Now we begin the second era. Now we begin, the third era, because the book is here. And I remember, you know, Jesus said to Luisa, when this book is released, it will change the face of the earth. Now we're still waiting for the official translations of Luisa from Trani. They are the ones that translate, not the Vatican. Trani is translating the writings. Why? They're in charge of the body of Luisa, where Luisa is buried. They are in charge of the cause of Luisa. So right now we're waiting in all languages, the final translation, from the church, which is from Trani, which is real. What something that's really wonderful is this. We have the best translations in English at this point. We have, this is what the Vicar General told us personally. He said that, we have the best translations so far. So what we're reading is from a woman who studied in Harvard, who has a degree from Harvard, from Bari, Foggia. She's from the area of where Luis is from, Puglia. She knows the dialect. She says, when I read Luisa in Italian, I hear my grandmother speaking to me. She says, I understand what she's saying. Now that's a different dialect than the Roman dialect. So you have to find people who had the dialect that Luisa had, and that's from Bari. It's a different dialect from, because it's a different area of Italy. So what we have now is the best translations. And what's really wonderful is as we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, this is what Archbishop Piceri has told us. He's now deceased. But he told us all the writings that are out there, even if they're not 100%, he says, help people begin to understand this life that our Lord is leading us to, this Catholic life that our Lord is asking us to understand. So what has happened over this past year is what's bound on earth is bound in heaven, with the holy sacrifice of the Mass, being not public, Jesus is telling us, I'm beginning to open up this book to all the world. And so there's nothing to be worried about. There's nothing to be fearful about. There's nothing to be anxious about. There's nothing to be complaining about. There's nothing to be negative about. It's really true. Jesus is asking us, it's like being on a boat, you begin to learn what ropes that you use to pull the sails, what the rudder is all about, how to sail into the wind. We're beginning to learn how this happens. We don't have it 100%. Why? We're just beginning. We're just beginning. And our Lord is asking us, are you willing to allow me to teach you how to do this? And we say, yes, Lord. So each day is something new and exciting. We're learning how to tie the knots on the ship. Oh, I didn't know you tied it that way. I thought you tied it this way. No, Jesus is saying, I'm showing you. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. That's why it's so important to read every day. To read every day, Jesus is teaching us the life that Adam had and lost, the image and likeness of God that Adam lost. And so what's happening now in the church is very, very important. God is in charge. The gates of hell will not prevail against my church. So what is Jesus doing? What is the Lord allowing? He's saying to us, and again, I think this is one of the reasons why a lot of people are home. Why? To read and to study. Have Jesus teach us through Louisa. Jesus and Mary teaching us through Louisa how to begin to live this abundant life. So this is why we're reading this. What is Jesus trying to teach us? What is the Lord God Almighty? Why are we going through something that the church has never gone through before? What is happening? We trust in Jesus. That's why it's not by chance that St. John Paul II gave us Jesus, I trust in you. That's the first thing. Jesus, I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. Everything's going to change. So this is what Jesus says. Louisa says, she says, I tried to recollect myself as much as I could, but I felt my mind so awake that I could neither lose consciousness nor sleep. So I would do nothing but break to my tears. I did as much as I could to follow in my interior what I would do in the state of unconsciousness of my senses. And one by one, I would recall Jesus' teachings. She's recalling the book of heaven. This is only volume 4. She's saying, okay, what did you teach me, Jesus? What are you showing me, Jesus? It's not what I had planned. It's not what I'm used to. What are you trying to tell me, Jesus? He says, I would try to recall his teachings. I would try to recall his words and the way I was supposed to remain always united with Jesus. You see what God is doing? He's saying to Louisa, he said, there will be a time when you will not receive Holy Communion. He says, that's going to happen. And Louisa was lamenting to Jesus saying, Lord, what am I going to do if I can't receive you, body, blood, soul, and divinity at Holy Mass? And Jesus said, Louisa, I'm going to teach you how to receive me, not in a mystical way, for 15 minutes until the host dissolves, which you're used to. I'm going to teach you how to begin to live in the divine will with the first bread, the bread of the divine will. He says, the bread that I, Jesus, was fed, the bread my mother was fed, the bread Adam ate before the fall. And that first bread is a perennial communion with God, walking and talking with God in the cool of the evening. This is what God is teaching us. There's nothing to be worried about. And again, for a lot of people that can't receive communion every day like they have, Jesus is saying, what did I teach my saints when they couldn't receive Holy Communion? To receive in a spiritual communion. So what did Jesus do? He showed St. Gertrude that two ciboriums, one ciborium was silver, one ciborium was gold. He says the gold ciborium is filled with all the hosts that people receive at Holy Mass, and it pleases me because we're entering into this life with God. He says, but the silver ciborium is all the spiritual communions that people have received outside of Mass. And he says, it pleases me as much. So what is Jesus showing us? What Louisa said here, he said very, very clearly, I did as much as I could in my interior, your spiritual communions, what I would do in the state of unconsciousness of my senses. And one by one, I would begin to recall his teachings. I would begin again to recall his words. I want to know the way I was supposed to remain always united to Jesus. This is what spiritual communions are doing for us. We're beginning to understand you can make a spiritual communion every hour on the hour if you wish. Every hour on the hour. Think about that. What do we do with our time? I was just talking to one teenager. He figured out that he has spent 3 million hours since he was a little boy. He's now, I think he's 25, with video games. 4 hours a day, 365 days a year. He says that's minimum. He says sometimes it was 6 hours a day. Sometimes it was longer than that he would be playing video games. These are 3 million wasted hours that you can never get back. What are we doing with our time? So what does Jesus do? He allows everything happening that's happening. Why? So that we can get closer to him with spiritual communions, closer to Jesus, if we wish. And not only that, he's given us the book of heaven. So why? So we can recall his teachings, recall his words, and the way we are supposed to remain always united with Jesus, fused with Jesus, one with Jesus. This is a glorious time. God hasn't done this for the church before. He hasn't allowed this to happen before. If we're complaining, if we're negative, or if we're upset, we lose. We lose. So Jesus is teaching us no more negativity, no more worry, no more fear. Draw closer to Jesus. So that's what Luisa is teaching us. Here, she's never experienced anything like this in her whole life. And what does she do? In my interior, she says, I would recall his teachings. You see what Jesus is teaching us through Luisa. Yes, things are not going to go our way. We plan, humans plan. We even plan our sin. What God is asking of us is, are you willing to let go of everything so that I can plan for you? That's how Adam lived. The Lord would show him creation, show him all the I love yous. And then Adam would give back to God this divine I love you that he breathed in with his senses. He would give back to God God's divine I love you. Image and likeness. So what the Lord is asking of us is he's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. And it's different and good, good. Here, my usual hour came and I was surprised. Something has changed, a bitterness that I've never experienced before. So I tried to recollect in my interior what Jesus told me, what Jesus taught me, what Jesus wants for me, never to be separated from him. So you use this time wisely. Use this time to get closer to the Lord. Oh, it's great. It's wonderful. So this is what Luisa says. But these were all darts that wounded my heart bitterly. Okay, so again, we go back to looking at the saints. We look at the ecstasy of St. Teresa of Avila. We look at the ecstasy of St. Catherine of Siena. Darts of love thrown into her heart. Ecstasy of love thrown into her heart. So what do we have for Christmas? What did Jesus give to Luisa for Christmas? He gave her the nine excesses of love. And Luisa did these nine exercises every day when he went from March 25th to December 25th for 9 straight months. And the blessing that our Lord and our Lady gave to Louisa of doing the 9 excesses of love every day for 9 straight months was to hold the baby Jesus at Christmas. She became one with him. What is so amazing about this is the first one, Louisa, if you want to say, learning these 9 excesses of love, which St. Honorable de Francia raved about. He says, if you do the 9 excesses of love, which most people start on December 16th for those 9 days before Christmas, if you really begin to live those 9 excesses of love, you become filled with a share in divinity. And now what I mean filled is, if, like St. Teresa says, you open yourself to the size of a thimble, I'll fill you to the top. If you open yourself to the size of a carton, I'll fill you to the top. If you open yourself the size of a bathtub, I'll fill you 30, 60, or 100 fold. It all depends of how much we want of what God, he'll fill us. If we open ourselves up to the size of a thimble, I'll fill you, he says. I'll fill you to the brim. Whatever you want. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He's saying to us, I have eternity. I have the beatific vision that I will fill you with as much or as little as you want. And that begins now. It doesn't begin after you die. The peace, the joy, the happiness of heaven is what the divine will is all about. How can you be peaceful in this situation? You are with Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Why wouldn't you be filled with peace, joy, and happiness? Well, I'm already doing that with St. Louis de Montfort. I'm already doing, well, Jesus let us know through St. Louis de Montfort that the final saints in the final times will be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world. And it's nothing that they have done doing the will of God, but it's what God is going to give them, living in the will of God. That's what we understand now. What would be greater than what all the saints have done combined? It's living in the will of God that was given to Louisa. And now Jesus said to Louisa, you must put everything down on paper. So those that will read what I told you, they will begin to live. They'll begin to possess. This is the Catholic life. This is the universal life. We're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. We're filled with heaven on earth. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's what's happening right now. And this is so glorious. It is so magnificent. So he says this. She says, ah, after you have seen Jesus every day for 15 years, sometimes more, sometimes less, sometimes 3 or 4 times a day, sometimes once a day, sometimes Jesus would speak to you. Other times Jesus would remain silent, but still you would see him. And now something's changed. And now you have lost him. You don't see him anymore. You long to hear his sweet and gentle voice. Everything is over for you. That's how she felt. A lot of people are very, very upset of what's going on in the world today. A lot of people are fearful and complaining and are negative. Everything is over for you. And my poor heart would be filled with bitterness and sorrows, so filled with bitterness and sorrows that I can say that my bread was sorrow and my drink the tears. And I, Louisa, was so filled with them that not a drop of water could enter into my throat. So here she's on the cross, if you want to say, as Jesus said, I thirst. Jesus is letting her experience what he went through. Why? It's another level that God has given to her. another suffering that God has given to her. Why would God do this? The father always says, when I see a soul that loves my son and loves my daughter, Mary, I give them more. With what Jesus and Mary went through, the two that suffered the most. And that's what they did with Louisa. She says, my bread was sorrow, my drink was tears. And I was so filled with them that not a drop of water could enter into my throat. It's Jesus hanging on the cross. To this, another thorn added on. Okay, now she's talking about the crown of thorns. Why? She says, I recollected within myself, in my interior. So here she's now suffering the crowning of thorns. She says, oftentimes I had said to my adorable Jesus, how I fear about my state. A lot of people say that. I'm worried about my health. I'm worried about my finances. I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about the church. I'm worried about how I feared about my state, that this is just me, that it is all my fantasy, that is a pretense. So a lot of people say that about the divine will. It's just a fantasy. Why didn't Thomas Aquinas talk about this? It wasn't given to him. Neither was the divine mercy given to St. Thomas Aquinas. It wasn't time for it. But again, what does Thomas Aquinas say when he's writing the Summa, the third part? He never finished the third part. Why? He said very, very clearly, what I am writing is mere straw compared to what God is going to give to the world. I think he got a glimpse of the Book of Heaven. And Jesus would say to me, remove these fears. Stop worrying. Stop worrying, Jesus says. He said to his apostles, does worry add one moment to your life? And he says, of course it doesn't. And then he says, stop worrying. Remove these fears. And then you will see that days will come in which, in spite of any effort or sacrifice you would make to lose consciousness, you will not be able to do it. It doesn't matter what you have planned. We have to turn to Jesus and say, I surrender to you. What do you want, Lord? How do you want this, Jesus? Let me do as you wish. That's what Our Lady said. I am the humble slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you wish. That's what lowly handmaid means. A slave girl. Whatever you want, I do. That's why we genuflect. When we go into church, you are my Lord, you're my master, you're my King, you're my Savior, you're my God. I surrender to you. We just don't bounce off our knee when we go into church. We say to the Lord, you are my King. In spite of all of this, I felt calmness in my interior, for at least I was obeying, though it cost me my life. So that's what Jesus is asking of us. In this difficult time, he says, look at the good that's coming. Look at the good I'm doing in your soul. I'm giving you the time to read. I'm giving you the opportunity to receive me every hour on the hour. I'm giving you this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will. And why are you afraid? Why are you worried? Why are you fearful? Why are you anxious? Why are you complaining? And then Jesus says, stop it. He says, those that are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, they are the souls that are anticipating hell. Why? Where's God? Where's the trust in God? Where's the belief in God? Where's the hope in God? It's not there. And they're saying to Jesus, this is what I expect coming. Hell. And then Jesus says, those that are peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy and happy, are experiencing hell of heaven. Why? I trust in you. I believe in you. I have confidence in you, not in the situation, but in you, Lord. No more plans, Lord, on my part. You, Lord, direct and lead me the way you want me to go. And he says, good. Read, study, put this into practice. And Jesus says, and I will be teaching you. I will be leading you. I will be guiding you. I will be sitting right beside you, touching your mind so that you will understand these writings. And I will touch your heart so that you will love these writings. You'll begin to love what Jesus is telling you every single day. A new beginning for the church, a new beginning for the world. That's what Jesus promises. It's not the end. It's the beginning of a glorified life, one with God. So we'll end there with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.